Now we both kinda like it. Now we both kinda know that if we're ever gonna make it, we just need to let go.
You're listening to the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com, where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment. I'm recording this podcast on August 21st, 2017. My guest today is a software engineer and one of the organizers of the Columbus Kotlin user group, Michael Yodiv. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Thanks very much for being on. Kotlin is something that I've been watching peripherally, so just assume that I don't know anything about it. When was Kotlin first created and by whom?
So Kotlin was created by JetBrains and released somewhere in 2011, I think it was. JetBrains was famous for their dev tools such as IntelliJ, which Android Studio is based on. .NET devs might know him best for the creator of the Visual Studio plugin, ReSharper.
Yes, I certainly would not be half the developer I am without ReSharper. What is the origin of the name Kotlin? Where does that come from?
The story goes, JetBrains' lead language designer, Andre Broslav, I hope I'm saying his name right, decided to name it after the island Kotlin, which is near St. Petersburg. This is similar to how Java got its name, which is from the island off of Indonesia.
So it's kind of they're kind of parodying Java, I guess.
Yeah.
It's interesting. If you had to, could you pick a language that's Kotlin's sort of closest relative? Would you say it's closer to C, C-sharp, Java, or closer to like a Ruby Smalltalk? Would it be closer to a Lisp or F-sharp functional language?
I don't think I can point to a particular language because JetBrains was very much inspired by a bunch of different languages. I've heard it drew a lot of inspiration from Scala, but that's a language I'm unfortunately not really familiar with. From a .NET dev perspective, I personally see a lot of similar features in C-sharp and F-sharp, such as Kotlin's ability to do extension methods, lambda expressions. Kotlin also has the ability to do type inference and provides immutable types and has a strong focus on nullability. But it also deviates from traditional Java too through the use of higher order functions. With Kotlin, you have the ability to pass and receive functions to and from other functions. Also, functions themselves in Kotlin don't need to be contained within a class. You simply write them and then import them as needed. But it's a clean language and a concise language that almost has a Swift feel in terms of readability. From my perspective, ultimately, I can't really point to a close relative because it was just inspired by so many other languages in order to streamline and add missing features to Java.
Okay, so that sort of speaks to my next question is, why did JetBrains create Kotlin? What can I express better in Kotlin than I can in comparable languages?
Why Kotlin was created? JetBrains was looking for a replacement for Java to use in their products. They saw limitations in Java and had little hope of things being improved. And yet a vast majority of their existing code base was written in Kotlin. So completely rewriting everything was out of the question. They looked into several other JVM languages, but while evaluating had a couple requirements. They wanted static compilation, they wanted good IDE support, and interoperability with Java was a must. This led them to try, I think, Scala, but they quickly ran into limitations with that language as well. In the end, they decided to just go ahead and create their own language that was completely interoperable with Java, which would allow them to support their existing code base. And since they created the language, they could complement it with their excellent tooling and have control over the features that they needed or wanted.
So in 2011, they created Kotlin. Is it still true in 2017 that Java, the language anyway, is not keeping up, is not changing to make these things possible?
There are certain features, I would say, about Java that just isn't moving fast enough. They've added, I believe, lambda expressions in, I think it was Java 8. But in terms of like extension methods and being able to add to platform types, I still think that's a problem. And also fundamentally, like nullability is an issue with Java. Being able to determine when a type should or should not be null is still kind of ambiguous. And Kotlin really solves that problem by forcing everyone to specify whether a type is null or not null. In fact, types in Kotlin are not null by default.
That's interesting. I don't know of any languages I can think of that do that.
Yeah, it's very useful. It's interesting to adjust to a world like that, but it really forces you to think about when a type can or cannot be null. In fact, when I'm coding like backend systems, I know like if my backend is in .NET and I'm coding in Kotlin, either for Android or maybe even a backend system or a front-end system, I'll have to really think about, okay, .NET is sending me this type. Can it be null? If it can, then I have to handle that situation in Kotlin, and it's very explicit when that object can be null.
If I use Kotlin, do I do away completely with null reference exceptions?
That's what they're trying to do, exactly. Yep. You don't do away with them completely. There still is the possibility of getting a null reference exception, but they're very explicit about those situations. So, for instance, if you have a nullable type, say, for instance, a string, which you would append a question mark afterwards, right? If you tried to access that type in Kotlin, you would have to throw the double exclamation point at the end saying, hey, I know this could be null, but if it is null, it's on me. It's a very ugly syntax, but it's also like a red flag, especially if you're doing code reviews. If you see anybody that's using the double exclamation point operator, you know that that's a potential null reference exception.
It seems that Kotlin has picked up a lot of traction recently, and I think this is due to Google supporting it on Android. Is that correct?
Yep.
Why did they add Kotlin support to Android?
So Kotlin was really taking off in the space. I'm not sure exactly why Google decided to fully put their weight behind it, but I can tell you that a lot of the devs have been pushing for something like that. Technically, you could always use a language like Kotlin for Android dev. JetBrains themselves provide all the tools needed to do so. But now with Google's blessing, I can say, hey, devs, you can go ahead and use Kotlin in your day-to-day. And it's mostly because of its true interoperability with Java. You can go from Kotlin to Java and Java and back, and you really have no difference. It's because it all translates down to the JVM under the covers.
So I'm not an expert in any of these languages I'm about to mention, but it seems like Objective-C is a really hideous language to me, and Apple's answer to that was Swift. And now Java doesn't seem as hideous to me as Objective-C, maybe because I'm biased towards C#. But would you say that Kotlin is to Java as Swift is to Objective-C?
I would agree with that analogy. I think developers in both the Objective-C world and the Java world have been clamoring for an alternative to their respective languages. For new devs especially, it's difficult to jump into a language like Objective-C due to its terse syntax and Java with all of its ceremony. I think developers are flocking to languages like Swift and Kotlin because they're both very pragmatic languages and they make programming fun. Languages that put emphasis on creative solutions to problems and not like boilerplate like Java does most of the time, it makes developers happy.
You've mentioned a lot of cool things about Kotlin. What would you say is your favorite thing about Kotlin?
You know, it's simply impossible for me to name one thing I like about Kotlin. Like off the top of my head, there's some really interesting features that make it really a fun language to work with. One of the things is the when block. The when block behaves the way I wish like a normal switch statement would work. It's hard to explain without code, so allow me to fumble through this explanation. And trust me when I say you should definitely look it up and give it a try. But essentially, you can use it like a switch. It can do things like range checking. So if you have a value that falls between 1 and 10, execute this line of code or call this function. If the value falls between 11 and 20, do this and so on. But you can also use it without an argument. So you can check whatever you want. You can say when, and then inside this block of code, is X in this range, execute this function, or is X some other object? You can do some type checking within a when statement. And then if it is, do execute some function. Or you can just ignore X completely and just check a string if you wanted to. So does some string contain the word hello? If it does, do this. A lot of different things you can do within that when statement. Data classes, for instance, those things are huge for me. These are simple classes where you can define properties in your constructor and then get methods like hash code, toString, equals for free, which cuts down on a tremendous amount of boilerplate. And I use them very heavily when I create like POJO objects for like requests and responses from web services. Very, very useful.
So the switch feature you mentioned, the when block, it kind of sounds to me like pattern matching, which is something we did an episode on with Eric Potter. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes at crosscuttingconcerns.com if you want to learn more about that. What is something you don't really like about Kotlin, or you think there's an area that needs improvement?
There was a gentleman at the Google Developer Group meetup, the GDG meetup last week, that reminded me about maps in Kotlin. When you initialize a map in Kotlin, you have to use the syntax key followed by the word to, T-O, followed by the value. It's the using of the word to that's a very odd choice for me, and I've always forget about it. In other languages, you probably use like a colon or maybe a pointer operator, but here it's the word to. Another aspect of Kotlin that took some time for me to get used to and could cause problems for others is the fact that all classes are final by default, which means you can't extend them. This goes back to Java best practices where developers should, quote unquote, design and document for inheritance, otherwise prohibited. I get that by explicitly having developers think about which classes can and cannot be extended, they're promoting some quality design patterns, but I know this might have some adverse effects for those using libraries like the Spring framework, which requires that all classes be open.
That kind of reminds me, C# makes a choice to not have members be virtual by default, where I think Java is the opposite.
Yep.
What resources would you recommend for someone interested in learning Kotlin?
So I learned Kotlin from the Kotlin in Action book. It's a very in-depth look at the language with some very practical examples. I also use Pluralsight, of all places. They've got a great series on Kotlin, too. I know Pluralsight's mostly known for their .NET videos, but they've recently expanded their catalog to all sorts of topics and languages, Kotlin being one of them. Another place, which is more Android-specific, is Caster.io. This is a website from Don Felker, the co-host of the Fragmented podcast, and he has videos on Kotlin that are really good, especially for beginners. But if you want to just go out and play with the language without installing the compiler or an editor, you can go to try.kotlinlang.org. They provide an IDE in the web browser that lets you write, compile, and run Kotlin code. They also have all the samples from the Kotlin in Action book, so you can test out the code and play around while you're reading the book.
I'll put links to those in the show notes at crosscuttingconcerns.com. Kotlin in Action sounds like a Manning title, so while you're there, why don't you pick up a copy of AOP and .NET as well? Treat yourself to two good books.
There you go.
Is there anything else you'd like to promote before we wrap up the show?
Just like to plug our local Columbus Kotlin user group. We meet the fourth Tuesday of every month at the Cardinal Health Fuse Building in Dublin, Ohio. If you're interested and want to get notifications for upcoming events, please find us at cbuskotlin.com, that's cbuskotlin.com, or follow us on Twitter at cbuskotlin.
My guest today has been Michael Yodiv. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
This has been the Crosscutting Concerns podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves, 2017. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media and leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you downloaded this podcast. For show notes, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. Hosting for this podcast was made possible in part by Microsoft. It was recorded and mixed with the help of Audacity, Skype, and Camtasia Recorder. The theme music is by The Dirty Truckers. You can buy their music on Amazon or iTunes. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on a future episode, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com to submit your name and idea.